Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Sports. And they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
Oh, yeah. Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. Put in that code BOBBYSPORTS. It'll help us out a ton. It'll keep us on the air. Your pledges keep us on the air. It's like PBS. You guys know what PBS is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then why were you confused?
Because I've never heard that.
That's what they do. Like once a year, they do a huge pledge drive because PBS is a non-commercial entity. Therefore, they don't have commercials. They have sponsors. And so you give, like, I don't know how much money they send you, like a tote bag.
Hmm. It's supported by viewers like you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. Stop trying to be cool. It doesn't. Anyway, Bobby Sports, if you go over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Coming up, Dane Brugler. It's all draft all week. And so Dane Brugler from The Athletic is on with us. And I pay for The Athletic. And what's great about The Athletic is, they didn't tell me to say this, but also you get two emails every single day, kind of catered to what you like. And so I got one about the draft, NFL Draft 2023 Confidential. But then I always get stuff on the teams that I like too. If they're covered in a story, it sends me that email too that I can click and read it. So I always get the Razorbacks, basketball, football, baseball. I get the Cubs. I get some golf if it involves certain players. This is not a commercial, by the way. He's from The Athletic. It's a pretty good little...
They got a lot of good guys there.
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty good little service there. So we'll do Dane and talk about all the draft. And he has the most comprehensive draft guide there is. It's called The Beast. It's 401 scouting reports, 300,000 words. And we're going to say them all.
Yeah.
We're going to say every word that he puts in his guide coming up. Glad everybody is here. I am as sore as could freaking be today. And I live a little bit sore. And I'm going to start with this. I live where I'm always kind of sore in my hamstrings because I work out. And he's been on the show before with Kevin Klug. He is my trainer. He's pretty hardcore. And he has a company. It's called Klug Fitness. Probably has six vans that drive all around Nashville. And he has trainers to go out and train people. And I'm fortunate enough that Kevin trains me. And he only goes to the house of a few people anymore because he's running a business more than he's training folks. But he comes over and he has his van. It's full of stuff. He unloads it. It's a squat rack. It's dumbbells. It's a sled. I hate the freaking sled. I hate the sled. He puts the 245s on it and then he stands on it. So he has all, we're working. We're going hard, right? We go out in my front yard and we just kill it. Unless it's raining and we go up to my gym and then we kill it. But that being said, we're always getting in the legs. And I'm always sore because it's always something new with the legs. I'm not sore because of him this time. And it's been a long time that it's been me being sore, not because of him. A couple things that I did. First of all, there's a class called Body Rock. Now, how would I explain this? Because I asked my wife what it was. I said, is this Pilates? She said, no. She said, there are some similarities, but it is not Pilates. There was a method, and I guess still is a method, that she would do when she was in California called the Legree, I believe is what you call it. And it's like super weighted. She hates for me to call it Pilates. I said, is it Pilates? She said, is it running, walking? I said, no. She goes, and this is not Pilates. I said, okay. I said, it's a derivative, though. Running is a derivative of walking. She goes, fair enough. So imagine Pilates, but much heavier, much harder, much slower. I can't even imagine Pilates because I didn't know what that was until I did this body rock. You're on this machine, there are all these springs. You're pushing and pulling and putting your leg out. Mike, when I say Pilates, do you know what that is?
Not really.
Me either.
I think of an exercise class.
Yeah, it's a big machine. It's like a big machine. You get in and do all this stuff. Kevin, you ever done Pilates?
I have not.
Do you see the machine?
I know what it is. Yeah, I know what they look like.
Mega former.
Oh, that I've done.
Yeah. Mega former. When have you done that?
Well, your wife and I went to a class in California.
Okay.
Wow.
That's what it is. Okay. So this is like that kind of class. And that was pretty hard.
Yeah, that was pretty hard. Yeah, it works out all kinds of muscles.
God dang. So I'm so sore because there's one thing where you put your foot in a strap and you're holding the thing and you put your leg out and like the sides of my butt are still on fire. The side of my abs are on fire. And these are muscles that I'm sure I use, but I don't just dial in on them. And I'm just like, that's how I feel like. And so then I take Ella out for a run, the dog, and she loves to sprint immediately, and I'm prepared for that now. And she takes off sprinting, and my foot hit the ditch real quick, and I strained my calf. It's my right calf, where it was strained and just was hurting for like 6 months. It still hurts. Now it's back. It's back. It's guess who's back? Back again. My calf strained is back. It hurts. So I'm telling my friends. And so that hurts. And then yesterday, Caitlin was like, you want to go to this class that shocks you? And I was like, What do you mean a class that shocks us? She goes, well, you put on this suit and it shocks the piss out of you. And then apparently it activates the muscle groups. So it's like, I wish I knew what it was called. And I was like, I guess. And so you know what we do? We go and show up. And apparently it's FDA approved because they said, they told me. I don't look it up. I just trust
anything.
Yeah, like if I die being shocked to death. Yeah. No, I didn't sign that waiver exactly. But Mike, what do you see?
I just see like some kind of EMS workout, electronic muscle stimulator.
That's what this is. But there's a company in town. Look, type Green Hills workout shocking. And I bet you come up with something there. It's called like UMERV or UMERV. Regardless, I go in, I don't know what to expect. You do sign some papers, and they say, put this on. And I'm like, but you put it on like over my clothes? I'm like, no, go into the dressing room. And I don't like my wiener and my wuts touching clothes that I don't own for the most part. And obviously, these have been worn by other people. Washed, but worn by other people. And my wiener and my wuts, I don't really like them touching things other people's wiener and wuts have touched.
Because
all my underwear, they've only been mine.
That's good.
No one else has worn them.
That's good.
And so I go and I put on these clothes and they are tight. It's like tights, long sleeve, tights, pants down to the ankles. Did you find it?
Mandu?
That's it.
Yeah, EMS Fitness.
Yes.
EMS Fitness.
So I put this thing on, I walk out and the guy goes, I'm going to spray you down with water. Why? Right. Why are you going to spray me down with water? Well, because, and I don't remember what he said, but something about the shocks work better with water, or it doesn't burn you if you're wet. Something. I'm going to be off a little bit on this, but they have to spray you with water so it doesn't like burn you when it shocks you. So I'm like, okay. Caitlin is too. She's like, okay. And they go, we're going to do the get to know you. It's 3 minutes long. And there's a big machine. And so me, I'm already a little uncomfortable, nervous. I say, hello, machine. I'm Bobby. I'm an Aries. Doesn't get a laugh. Try to get to know the machine. They said, no. We need to put all the equipment on you and see how much you can take in each area. So they put this thing. It's like when I did Breaking Bobby Bones, I would take and I would pull the you step in them.
Like a harness?
Yeah, that's what it is. It's like a harness, but it's got all these little shockers on it. And then I put on a shirt, top, vest, arm thing. I look like I'm Terminator 2. All these shockers are in it. I'm like, what is happening? They go, okay, let's do this first. Let's do your quads. And then he's like, it's on one, bro. I was like, oh, I know. It just scared me. It just scared me more than anything. And so he's like, can you take this? Take the, it goes up to 25. So I got to like 17 or 18. I'd be like, oh, hold on, right there, right there. You go to the next one. All right, this is going to be your glutes. I'd do the next one. All the, there's like 8 body parts, 9 body parts. I'm not sure. And so I got a 25 on a few of them. I could take max. And so Caitlin, who has her pain tolerance is the greatest I've ever seen of any human being in the history of human beings. She's 25s across the board. So I'm like, turn me up too then. Never mind. So he has to turn him back down. Because I just want, I mean, she's 5'8", 5'9", 112 pounds and just taking the shocks.
Is she looking at you like, you can't take
this? Oh, yeah, she makes fun of me all the time. Yeah. And so we get to know it. 3 minutes. We do our thing. They shut it off. They go, okay, well, this next workout part of it is going to be maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 12 minutes. So he gives us little balls and he gives us weights. And he's like, so there'll be like 5 seconds on, 5 seconds off. Maybe it could be 10 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And so he's going to quads first. So I have the weights and he's like, okay, go. And while it's on, you have to squat. So it's while you're squatting, it's stimulating all the muscles while you're working them. It's wild, man. It's wild. And so I'm going. I'm starting to like sweat out of my forehead. And I don't know it's because I'm getting piss shocked out of me. And it's literal pee coming out of my forehead. Or if I'm really like burning extra amount of calories. Look some of that up, Mike. What the research on that? Because I'm going to come over to you for a second.
I'm trying to figure out what the benefit here is.
I think it's just pain tolerance.
Yeah. I think they get some like enjoyment out of this.
So it doesn't really hurt. It just kind of scares you. So you ever do the thing where something, if it has a shock on it and you grab it, then you grab your friend's hand and the shock gets passed all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what it feels like. Or it's kind of if your leg's asleep real bad, it's like just, but it's like that on you. So what I learned was though, you can't lock out because it'll just hold you in that position. And so like, don't lock out whatever you do.
Like your knees?
Yeah.
As you're coming up?
Or my arms.
Okay.
Because you can't bend them or anything because it's just shock. You can't get any sort of elbow. So I didn't know that. And so I live locked out, awkward and locked out. And I'm like, I can't do it. I mean, I've turned it down. So he turns it down. I'm like, well, I don't even feel it now. He's like, well, don't lock out. I'm like, oh, got it. So now I know how to do it. We're like 9 minutes in. Only like 3 minutes left of this whole thing. So I finish the last 3 minutes and they do like my butt and my back and biceps and everything else. And you take it off. And I mean, I was drenched. And I told Caitlin, I said, I'm sweating all over my body. I don't feel exhausted, but I just feel like I've been through it. She goes, bro, they sprayed water on you before this started. You're wet. I was like, oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot about that. I thought I was sweating the whole time.
So much has happened since then.
Yes. And so then I took all the equipment off. I changed out of my clothes, my tights on top and on bottom. And they did like a little test where you stand on the scale and it tells you how tall you are, how much body fat you have, all of these things. And not so much to say good or bad, but to just see if there's improvement in the areas you want to improve in if you go back. And so we got like some sort of protein cookie and we left. And I was like, that's an interesting, new, novel experience that I really wonder if it works. I'm not going back today because they say don't go back every day. May go back tomorrow. Not sure. I need to do some more research, which leads me to my point here. Always do research before instead of after.
How long were you there from beginning to end?
Well, we had to do the intro part, right? So we had to like talk to the guy and he was the only one there. Nobody else was in there, but they only have 2 machines. So they have to schedule it. And probably 45, 50 minutes total. I think you could get in and out in 30 if you needed to, but we did a bunch of stuff where he was just kind of walking us through, spraying us down, letting us know what was going to do, get to know you. Hey, I'm Bobby Maneri. He's like long, you know,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to do that normally, but it was interesting. I feel a little sore in my biceps from it, my butt sore from the rocket Pilates, body rock, whatever you call that. And my calf hurts because, well, I'm getting older and my dog ran me into a ditch. So that's how I see you today. Mike, what do you find about this?
They say that the main benefit is like building muscle. You can also reduce some back pain, increase your metabolism.
So, that's what you do when you work out,
yeah,
right?
So it's all like that, getting an intense
but
workout.
Who's they?
This company's website.
Yeah, I hear you. If that's all it takes to be ripped, I'll be there every day.
And I guess because you can do it faster, they have it as low as 15 minutes, you could be there.
Yeah. If I come in just jacked, It's because I'm getting shocked every day. I'm in it. I'm going. I'll probably go back. I'll probably go a few times, see what's up. The first one was free. I don't even know how much it costs. Does it have a price on there, how much those shockings are? I'm sure that, because I think they were going to want to sell us a package when we left. And before they even got to that, I said, hey, guys,
yeah,
this is great, but I'm going to need to do it like three more times before I feel like if I want to buy anything. So I kind of cut them off there. Because obviously their goal, if you're in there, is to not just sell you one. It's to sell you, you know, whatever a month, whatever. So that's all right. I don't even care, Mike. But if you find it, you can let me know later on. Unless you have it now.
No, I just
because I didn't give him a credit card or anything.
The first one is free.
That's true.
Yeah, that's where
that
they get you.
That I can attest to. It was free. So that's where I am today. I'm hurting everywhere. Been shocked. Been body rocked. Been sprayed down with water and got run into a ditch. But God dang it, I'm here.
Dang.
And it's time now for the tittle tattle.
It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the tittle tattle with Kickoff Kevin.
After Curry's bonehead timeout the other day, what is your most memorable sports blunder?
By the way, it was Chris Webber part two. I mean, Steph Curry is a super cerebral guy. And when he called timeout, I mean, I don't know how many timeouts there were. I just expect him to. I guess I could look on the bottom of the screen as they had all the dots there, where it tells you how many timeouts the team has. Yeah, but it's crazy that he didn't know how many timeouts they had because it was him. Had it been Draymond Green or Jordan Poole, I'd have been like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think Draymond Green's actually a really smart guy. He just doesn't play it.
Agreed.
But he called it with 40 seconds, and they were up five. The Kings almost came back to win. They had a shot to win it. It was off the front of the rim, I believe.
Yeah.
From, like, the left three-point elbow. I thought it was in. I mean, it was on. It was just a little short. Biggest blunder, the one that I know, I don't remember it live, but Boston Red Sox,
yeah.
Bill Buckner.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
First baseman, went yep. between his legs, yep. ruined his whole life.
Yep.
That was a bad one. Chris Webber, Michigan, Final Four maybe, National Championship game.
Yeah.
I kind of lose where that was exactly, but I was watching that game. Me, when I was a captain my senior year, I went out and I remember before I left the locker room, the field house, coach said, we're going to stop them. Win the toss, play defense. Let's go. Let's stop them. I say, no problem. Let's go. I go out. Captain. Coin. Boom. They win the toss. They're like, we're going to receive. And they said to me, all right. That's not how it went. I got to remember how this goes again. Hold on. They said, I don't even know the story anymore. All I know is that we kicked off twice. At the start of the game and at halftime. They said, oh, they deferred is what it was.
They deferred,
and I said, we're going to play defense because that's the last thing that I remember the coach saying. Said, we're going to stop them. So since they deferred to after halftime. And so they got the ball twice.
Twice?
Wow. I said, we're going to play defense throughout the game. So we did. And then we also played defense at halftime, after halftime, because they got to pick at halftime. It's so stupid. My coach said to me, you're the smartest guy on the team, but that's the dumbest effing thing I've ever seen. He yelled it out loud. I feel like everybody heard it.
You tell him, coach, just reverse psychology here. Come on.
Reverse psychology. We lost by 6 points.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We didn't lose many games that year. We lost by 6 because I was the idiot who did not know how to do a coin toss. I didn't get to call the coin tosses the rest of the year.
I can understand that.
Stayed a captain, but did not get to call the coin tosses the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Stupid. All right, next up.
You got CJ Stroud and his testing the other day. He scored an 18%. Do you remember your worst grade that you've ever gotten on a test?
I don't know that it was a test that I got a bad grade, but the only B that I got in high school was in a typing computer class. It's the only B I got. I got two of them, but in the same class because I couldn't freaking type fast enough or couldn't write fast enough. ASDFJKL semicolon. That ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? ASDFJKL semicolon?
GHJKL semicolon.
Yeah. See? That's why I got a B.
You got a B right there.
Yeah. And then in college, I got a C in French, the only C I got.
That's tough.
And I begged for it. I went to my professor and was like, bro, I ain't ever using this. Never. I only took it. It was the only foreign language class I could get into. I wanted Spanish, but I took French. Ended up taking a lot of French. But I was like, you got to let me out of this. You got to just give me a C. I was an honor student, too, and they were going to take away my honor scholarship if I made a D or an F. So those, I don't remember getting a bad grade on anything, but I remember struggling through French and struggling through the computer typing class.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, F's. I was always pretty good and pretty prepared because I knew I had to have good grades to get out of school. But I was, it was shameful to watch me go into my French teacher
and beg for that C.
Hat in hand.
Oui, oui.
I've tried. I've tried. I promise. I'm never going to use it. You got to help me out. You're going to ruin my. And he didn't say yes. All I know is I had a C. I don't know if I deserved a C.
Did you have to do any extra work or no?
Nope, because he didn't want to act like he could.
I gotcha.
That he would allow me to do that. Or that he would allow the fact that I would come in and ask for it and he would grant it. So I don't think he wanted to show that you could just go in, say, I need some help, and him give you help. So, nope, I didn't. I just know I got a C. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I got a C. Yeah, next up.
We got the transfer portal being big news, and I was wondering, as an Arkansas fan, if you could transfer to another team, who would it be?
That's interesting because I don't like anybody else. But if I had to pick, I wouldn't go to like a big established winning program because you kind of have to be born into it or you're a chump. Or you end up going to school there.
Yeah.
Or you're a chump. So I would go probably be a South Carolina fan.
Okay.
They haven't won much. Love their coach. I think they're on the up and up. I think that fan base appreciates the small servings of winning they've had, and I think they're ready for more. So I'd play some Beamer Junior ball and go over and be a South Carolina fan.
I like it.
But I would not go to a program with a lot of winning just because I would feel like a cheater. I did see that Colorado receiver. I saw it on Instagram last night where he's like, I'm out. Thank you. Why did he leave, though? I know he had a huge spring game, six passes, 168 yards. There was like a full 100-yard touchdown, 90-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Do we know why he's leaving?
No, he just announced on his Instagram that, hey, I'm leaving and entering the portal.
And usually that means, though, that something ain't going right. Like, they're not getting playing time.
Right.
But he's getting playing time.
There must be like a relationship thing there, and it wasn't going well, and he put up a bunch of numbers on ESPN, and some coach called in and was like, hey, we'll take you over here.
Yeah, but I would think Deion's going to make sure anybody he wants stays where he wants. That spring game was sold out, too, and it was snowing.
Yeah.
It was snowing in the spring in Colorado, and it was packed. It was awesome. It was really good. All right, that is the Tittle Tattle. The stupidest name ever is the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff Kevin. A reminder, the 25 Whistles is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code BobbySports. Get in on the action. We got Bucks -6 at the Heat. I don't even know how to pick this series. Heat up 2-1. It's just going to matter if Giannis plays. But even then, I'm going to stay away from that one. And Grizzlies, the Lakers. Lakers are at home. Lakers -4.5. I think the Lakers win that, and they probably cover. That'd be the game I would take.
The Lakers to cover?
Yeah, Lakers -4.5. That would be me. I may bet that one. But you also can hop in. Get in on that. 25 Whistles. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code BobbySports when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. See show notes for full details.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, next up we have Dane Brugler from The Athletic. Dane is known for having the most comprehensive draft guide there is. It's called The Beast. It's 401 scouting reports, almost 1,900 players evaluated, over 300,000 words. You can find his latest 7-round mock draft on The Athletic right now. I mean, this guy wrote his first draft guide at 18 years old. He was inspired to be an NFL scout as a teenager. The great thing about this, too, if you want to go check it out, you can use it for fantasy football as well, for rookies. So here we go. Draft this week. Here he is, Dane Brugler. Dane, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. First of all, I'd like to say I actually pay money for your work, so I appreciate that. Yep, I'm in. Let's go. I'm a subscriber. So
love it.
Yeah, I thought you'd maybe make you like me a little more. You know, got a little money every month going on over. Hey, let's talk about this because here we go. And there's a couple different ways to talk about it. And I was looking at your first round, and obviously we know the quarterbacks are going to go. But let's start with the Cardinals at 3. Do you think they ended up trading that pick before the draft because somebody wants that third and fourth quarterback right there?
I think there's a good chance they do, but not until we find out what happens at 1 and 2. You know, I think that's where the intrigue is. The closer we get to the draft, I think the better we feel Bryce Young, Alabama quarterback, will be the number one pick to the Panthers. But that's where the intrigue starts at 2. What do the Texans do? I think from the outside looking in, it's easy to say they need a quarterback. But this is a first-year head coach, a new coaching staff. They don't feel pressured to force a quarterback at 2 if they aren't all in, universally 100% believe that quarterback is the pick. And so the intrigue starts at 2. And let's just say they don't take a quarterback. Let's say they take Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson, the top non-quarterback on their board. Then the Cardinals are sitting pretty at 3 with only one quarterback off the board. Their phones will be ringing. And, you know, it could be the Colts making a move just one spot to ensure they get their guy. Could be the Titans at 11 looking to trade up and get the quarterback of the future. So a lot of intrigue with the quarterbacks. That is what's going to command the talk all week. And then up until the draft actually starts Thursday night.
Why for a bit after the Panthers traded for that 1 spot, was it so heavy C.J. Stroud? Just for like 2 days, it was, they're for sure going to take C.J. Stroud. Even the odds reflected that. What was that quick hit, and why did it switch back?
Yeah, with Bryce Young, it's just tough because we've never really seen a quarterback like this. He's the moment he's drafted, he will be the smallest quarterback in the NFL. And so he's a complete outlier size-wise. And, you know, talking with Panthers head coach Frank Reich at the combine, he flat out said it's a concern when talking about Bryce Young and the size. And this was before they made that move. And so I think you look at C.J. Stroud, 6'3", 215, a very good pocket passer. You could look at C.J. Stroud and say, okay, he's the one guy that everybody in the room is going to agree on. But I think with Bryce Young, if you can get past the size, everything else you love about him, the instincts, he plays the position like a point guard, creating space for himself. The vision to see the entire field is outstanding. A common theme among the best quarterbacks in the NFL is the ability to create. And I think that's the big difference between these two quarterbacks, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. Bryce Young, it's second nature to him. It's very natural for him to move the pocket, buy those extra half seconds, allow routes to come open, anticipate those windows, and then be very accurate with his throws, where CJ Stroud wants to live in the pocket. That's where he is at his best. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But in today's NFL, you have to have some element of creating. And I think that's where with Bryce Young, he is just a little bit different. He has some magic acts back there in the pocket. So if you can get past the size, Bryce Young, clearly, in my opinion, the best quarterback this year.
Yeah, the size, though, I mean, that's such a massive part of it. You know, as he moves pockets, and I'm a massive SEC guy and watched Alabama play a lot, he almost has to move the pocket. Like, he's so good at it because he has to. And I don't know, maybe a Kyler Murray, you know, we could talk even Drew Brees even. Has there ever been a coach who then decides to build their team a bit differently, meaning we don't want offensive linemen that tall because our quarterback isn't that tall? Would that be a consideration for once you're building that offense?
I don't think so much the offense, you know, that the personnel, the offensive linemen you're having on your roster. I think more so the play calling, though. I mean, having designed runs or designed plays so the quarterback is getting outside the pocket, so you're talking boots and nakeds and doing these things to get him on the move where he has clear passing windows. And I think the biggest concern with Bryce Young with his size is not necessarily the height, it's more so his slight build, because this is a quarterback that welcomes the chaos. He has no problem standing tough in the pocket or outside the pocket and allowing a defender come bearing down on him, because he knows that extra half second will allow the route to come open. And so he, in the NFL, where everything's just a little faster, guys hit a little harder, he's going to have to take better care of his body. He weighed in at 204 at the combine. But it's, you know, not a mystery. He didn't work out or do anything. And then at the pro day, he did have his position work out, but he didn't weigh in. He's going to be around 190, maybe 195. That'll be his consistent playing weight. We just haven't seen a quarterback like that. Even, you know, your Russell Wilsons, your Kyler Murrays, those guys are around 210, closer to 215 by the time they fill out. Bryce Young just doesn't have that type of build. This isn't a case of, oh, well, he'll get to the NFL, put on weight. He just doesn't have that type of body type. You have to be okay with him being a little bit smaller. And it's really more about durability than the height issue with him.
So one more question about Bryce Young. And when it comes to quarterbacks with Frank Reich, you know, I read the story about all the quarterbacks he's ever had that started for him were just massive dudes, 6'4", 6'5". That's what he preferred. That's the only way, as he's been a coach, that he has, you know, used quarterbacks. So, I mean, even, I guess, as a coach, you kind of have to kind of reorganize how you're going to run your own offense if you bring in a quarterback like you've never had before, right? You scheme completely different.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you have to have an open mind to what the college game is giving you. I think in an ideal world, you're drafting, you know, a guy that looks like Troy Aikman, but he's got better mobility, he's got this arm, and, you know, that's great. But, you know, how are we talking about air raid Texas Tech quarterbacks before Pat Mahomes? You know, it's just these guys don't work, they don't translate. But then a guy that's just a little bit different, he's the way he's wired, the way he plays. You know, what does Patrick Mahomes, he's different. And so he ends up being a first-round pick, and, you know, the legend is born. With Bryce Young, yeah, ideally you want a bigger guy, the way that we want our offense to run, is someone that can, you know, looks like Ben Roethlisberger, can shake off contact. But Bryce is just a little different. And the way that he plays, it's such an intangible position. You know, we've seen Jalen Hurts get that big contract recently. Above all with Jalen Hurts, the intangibles that he brings to the field and off the field in the locker room, that's a big part of his success. Bryce Young is wired a similar way. I mean, just with the way he carries himself, the toughness, the competitiveness, the intelligence, the processing. So I think that you're willing to sacrifice the size for a special talent, and I think Bryce Young falls in that category.
I'm going to spend some time on the quarterbacks. We'll go to CJ Stroud, who will be the second quarterback off the board, most likely, unless somebody falls super, super in love with Anthony Richardson. But with CJ Stroud, I think I saw a tweet yesterday, and I don't know if the tweet's true or not, but it goes to a bigger question that I have about teams or people wanting to diminish players so they can get them. And CJ Stroud, the story was he was supposed to show up to the Peyton Manning Passing Academy and did not show up. It kind of ghosted it. I don't know if you've heard that story. I don't know if it's true, but my question is this a common thing where people are saying stuff about players so they will fall more and possibly fall to them in the draft?
I mean, we knew about this last summer. It wasn't a big deal then. It's not a big deal now. Teams have certainly known about it. You know, unless we're talking about a gas mask, Laramie Tunsil type of situation, you know, teams know what's going on. And so nothing that I say or any analyst out there says is going to affect how teams rank these players. With CJ, he's not a perfectly clean prospect by any means. You know, he has his areas where teams are a little concerned. But above all, I think you feel great about his floor as an NFL passer because he's so clean from the pocket. His ability to read pre and post snap, and then his anticipation down the field, the ability to throw a touch and touch up every level of the field, be accurate. Now, I think he helped by Ohio State's offense with the, you know, two tackles that will be drafted, one in the first round, one in the second round. It's a really an amazing cast of wide receivers. Last year, 2021, when he had Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jackson Smith and Jigba. This past year, Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin Harrison Jr. were in this draft. He might be the first non-quarterback drafted. He is that good of a player. So you have to try and scout CJ independent of all of that. Plus, the scheme and the offense that he played in, which is not always easy to do. But I think you feel good about his floor as an NFL starter. And then can he be creative enough? I think that's, like I said, the big difference between Bryce and CJ. Can he develop, as an improviser, using his legs? We saw that a little bit against Georgia in the college football playoffs, where he played his best game on the biggest stage against the biggest defense or the best defense. And you have to be encouraged by that, no question. But ultimately, his NFL ceiling will be determined by how he can develop as a creator in the NFL.
Colts 4 in your mock, Anthony Richardson. And, you know, I watched him play at Florida a lot. I watched him early when he was like, this guy's going to win the Heisman. Then I watched him middle and late. They're like, this guy is not good at all. So I've got to watch the whole rise and fall. And then in the workouts, his throwing, he looks like a linebacker. Like I've seen the whole picture with Richardson, but when I see the Colts, and Anthony Richardson is such a raw, he will be such a raw NFL quarterback. And if he goes to the Colts, I feel like they're going to want to play him quickly. I feel like a team that would have a more established quarterback would be a team that would go after Anthony Richardson. Do you think the Colts are going to go for Richardson and then just grab him and throw him in the fire?
Well, that's the question, because I think Anthony Richardson's a player that you want to sit and develop a little bit. But at the same time, he needs to play. That's how Anthony Richardson's going to get better. And selfishly, that's why I hoped he returned to Florida for another year, is so he could get better and work through some of these things. But I don't think that him sitting and watching film and reading the playbook, that's not going to help his accuracy become more consistent. Actually being on the field, playing with the ones, getting those live reps, that is how he's going to get better. And, you know, we have to remember he's just 20 years old. He didn't come from a big-time high school, so it's not like he's been groomed for this for a long time. Only 13 career starts. He was below 500 in those 13 career starts. But he's a total freak show as a talent. When you talk about over 6'4", 245 pounds, outstanding arm, if you take his best plays, he looks like an accurate quarterback. I mean, he has a lot of good tape out there, throwing the Utah tape, the season opener last year. But to your point, it was a roller coaster with him. There were several times where he's missing open receivers, or he's not hitting, the ball placement is not there where it needs to be. And they're little things like hitting a receiver on the right shoulder on a slant. If you hit him on the opposite shoulder, the defender's going to be right there. It's going to be an incomplete pass or a stop right there. You hit him on the correct shoulder, all of a sudden that 5-yard pass is turning into a 12-yard gain, maybe even more. So some of the little things, the details, there's just a lot that Anthony Richardson doesn't know at this point. And so I think as an organization, you have to be comfortable with the timeline that Anthony Richardson gives you. And maybe the Colts are, maybe they're not. Remember, the Colts, they have a first-year head coach as well. Chris Ballard, the GM, you could say he's maybe on the hot seat, and maybe he wants someone that is more NFL-ready. But you think about what head coach Shane Steichen, what he did with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, it'd be awfully fun to see what he could do with an Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis.
The Seahawks have their guy, at least for the next couple of years. I think we see that. But one pick back, if Anthony Richardson's available, is that something you could see Seattle doing and just going, yeah, you're a guy, but not right this second?
I would be surprised just because I think that they really feel like they have a chance to go for it here with Geno Smith. But you know what? They have two first-round picks. So they might see this pick as being, house money. And you know what? Let's take our quarterback of the future right here and put him in a good quarterback situation where, you know, we don't have to put him onto the field before he's ready. So I don't think you can completely rule it out, although I would be surprised if the Seahawks dropped a quarterback at five. You could probably say the same thing about the Lions at six. They also have two first-round picks and conceivably a quarterback in place that they feel like they is good enough to win with in Jared Goff. But how often are you going to have a chance at an Anthony Richardson, you know, a guy that you can draft and develop? And so, the Seahawks at five, the Lions at six, two really interesting landing spots. And then even at the Raiders at seven, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, is he going to be able to play a 17-game schedule? You look at eight with the Falcons. Ritter is he's going to his second year now. Desmond Ritter from Cincinnati, fine quarterback. I don't think they believe he's the future, though. The Falcons, if they have a chance at one of these quarterbacks, could they make a move? And then I mentioned the Titans. The Titans have made a lot of calls about what it would take to move up a little bit. And, that's not completely uncommon. You know, you always try to lay the groundwork for potential trades. Doesn't mean they're going to make a move, but they've at least examined the possibilities if they want to go up and get one of these quarterbacks.
Speaking of the Titans, you have Levis going to the Titans at 11 in your mock. Have teams fallen out of, I won't say out of love, but have they fallen less lovey with Levis over the past few weeks?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I would say that the what he did this past year was certainly not, did not live up to expectations. But I think that an important thing when you talk about quarterbacks, with a guy like Will Levis, you have to separate the reasons from the excuses. And with Will Levis, you think about what he lost from last year. He lost to the play caller, Liam Cohen, who left last February to become the offensive coordinator of the Rams. He lost his top receiver in Wan'Dale Robinson. He lost 3/5 of that offensive line. And then you also factor in that he was hurt most of this year. I mean, people don't realize he was getting shots before every game just so he could go out there and be a functional player. So all these things combined, and then you factor in the tools are off the charts. Physically, the way he's built, he's also extremely intelligent. The toughness is outstanding. A lot of teams are going to want to work with that. They're looking at it and say, yeah, I wish he was more consistent. Yeah, you know, I wish he saw things a little bit quicker. But the tools that he offers, both physically and mentally, if we get that type of talent with our coaches, we feel like we might have something special down the road. So I think Will Levis still really well liked among NFL teams, and why he's still slated to go somewhere in the top 10 picks, even though that senior year did not go quite according to plan.
You think Hendon Hooker slips into the back of the first round?
There's a good chance, and I think a big part of it is that fifth-year option, because with a guy like Hendon Hooker, he probably taken a redshirt year that first year. So if you lose that year, getting that the fifth-year option really helps you recoup a year with Hendon Hooker, coming off the ACL injury, already 25 years old. And he's coming from a system that we haven't – it comes from that Art Briles system where we haven't seen quarterbacks – really make a smooth transition to the NFL, where you're going from half field reads to full field reads. You're going from an offense in college where it just spreads out the defense, creates a lot of open holes in coverage, where everything's a lot more condensed in the NFL. So it's a projection. I think he's a second round player, but it would not surprise me at all if we end up seeing him in the first round, especially for a team that wants to get that fifth year option. Maybe we see a team like, if the Colts don't draft one at four, we can see the Colts trade back into the first round. Maybe the Seahawks, several teams could get back into that first round in order to get that fifth year option.
Jalen Carter falling in your mock, obviously the recent controversy, the very sad story. You have him at nine, probably a top three pick, if not. I mean, how much money do you think he lost from this? And do you think that the Bears are the first team that kind of need that tackle and also are willing to deal with whatever baggage comes with drafting him?
Yeah, it's a complicated prospect to talk about because based just on talent, you can make the easy argument he is the top player in this draft. Every team wants that interior disruption. Edge rushers are great, But if you can get that disruption up the middle and really force quarterbacks to really think that's coming and have to move different ways, that's what really gets quarterbacks shaky and off their game. So his block destruction is phenomenal. It's power, it's quickness, it's a skill level where he's still young and he's still figuring things out, but he still shows a very high skill level at defensive tackle. So based just on talent, you're drafting this guy in the top three, no doubt. Now, factoring in the off-field, the maturity, that's where the question marks come in. And maturity is not guaranteed as we age, as we get older, especially in the NFL where big contracts are involved. It's a lot are put on these guys at an early age. It can be tough for some guys to really manage everything. And with Jalen Carter, it's a big risk, big reward type of pick. I think he's going to end up going somewhere between picks 5 and pick 9. So you look at the Seahawks at 5, the Lions at 6, the Raiders at 7, the Falcons at 8, and then the Bears there at number 9. Which team in that 5-pick range has the infrastructure in the locker room where they feel like, you know, we can bring in a player like this and, he's going to fit what we're doing and or what we're building, and then also be able to take that type of swing? Because this is a home run swing with the Jalen Carter, but he's too good to fall too far. I think someone will end up taking that swing somewhere in the top 10.
Two more questions about the draft and a couple other questions. As far as Will Anderson Jr., I mean, it looks like that guy's just ready to go. Like, it looks like you could plug him, and he's going to be ready to go next year, and he's just going to be a great edge. Well, the difference between Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson, is there a distinct difference in the two that would easily make Will Anderson the junior? I mean, I've also heard his dad. His dad's alive, too. But Will Anderson Jr., that first non-quarterback off the board?
Yeah, like with one guy, Will Anderson, he was the guy the moment he showed up. He's the first linebacker to ever start for Nick Saban as a true freshman. This guy was producing at a high level from the get-go. At 3-year junior, 62 tackles for a loss in 41 games. I mean, the production is just off the charts. 6'3 and a half, 255 pounds. At the very least, it's hard to view Will Anderson being a bust. You know, at the very least, this guy is going to be a starter for a long time. At the best, he's going to be in Pro Bowls, win all pros. With Tyree Wilson, I think there's a little more fluctuation with the different outcomes of what could happen because he is, talk about toolsy, a guy 6'5 and a half, 275 pounds. The arms are almost 36-inch arms. The wingspan is huge. A really good athlete for that size. He can win in different ways, power, quickness, scheme versatile. You want him lining up as a 5-technique, a 4-eye. He can do that. You want him dropping in space. He can play on his feet. But this is also a fifth-year senior, a guy that's older than Anderson and didn't consistently put up that production you would expect for a guy with his talent. So for a guy that played at Texas Tech in the Big 12, why only 7 sacks this year? You know, why not producing at a higher rate when he was younger? Sometimes the light bulb doesn't come on for guys right away. Sometimes it takes time. But for a Tyree Wilson, you love the traits. You love the tools. A little more of a projection. For me, I'm going to take the guy that I saw produce day in, day out in Will Anderson at Alabama. And I think most teams agree with that.
I want to go to Bijan Robinson. My final question about this year's draft. And then move to a couple other things. But Bijan Robinson, the only running back on your first-round mock, I'm the only running back on really any mock I've seen, period. You know, now, why draft running back in the first round? They're just easily replaceable. But why Bijan Robinson, and why so high in the first round? I mean, in the top 16 picks here.
He should be a top 10 pick. Bijan Robinson is that type of player. He's that good. There's a lot of discussion about running backs when it comes to the draft. And honestly, I think it's we've kind of gone too far, in my opinion. These guys aren't paid, that much where you can't draft a running back in the top 10. Now, signing him to that second contract, that's a different discussion. That's where we can get into, like, is that worth it? You know, is that a smart business move? 100% on board with that. But a special talent like a Bijan Robinson who, as you know, talk about the balance, the quickness for a guy that size, the ability to create on his own, whether it's with power, whether it's with elusiveness, he can do that at a big time level. And then also forget the running back tree. As a route runner, he could run the wide receiver route tree. Line him up in the slot. Line him up out wide. He'll run the post. He'll run these different routes, catch the ball away from his body, and do it at a high level. So I would have no trouble drafting a Bijan Robinson in the top half of round one, and I don't think you're going to regret it. And it'll be interesting where he ends up. You look at Philly at number 10. dropping him in that offense would be so much fun to watch. But the Eagles, traditionally not a team that drafts running backs in the first round. Where is Bijan Robinson going to land? There's not a lot of obvious landing spots, but at the same time, he's too good to fall too far. So he's going to go somewhere in the top 20 picks. It's just a matter of, you know, where does that end up going? Could it be the Commanders at 16? Could we see a surprise team, you know, like the Patriots or someone swoop in there? He's too good to fall too far on draft day.
NFL Draft 2023, the beast. I mean, it is, guys, I'm telling you, it is intense. It's everything you want to know. It came out April 10th, but it is hundreds of scouting reports, mm-hmm. 1,900 players evaluated. It's 300,000 words. I mean, I wrote two books, and together, those books did not, I don't know if it's 300,000 words. I'll be honest with you, Dane. Like, this is a lot of work you've put into this, and there's a 7-round mock draft on the Atlantic. By the 7th round, are you just guessing?
Well, no, I mean, you try to be, it's educated guesses, put it that way. You know, you pay attention to 30 visits, you pay attention to who's talking to who. You know, certain teams have certain trends. You know, they go for high upside edge rushers late in the draft, or they want their backup quarterback. You know, so you pay attention to all these things and try to be as realistic as possible. And so, the feedback on the draft guide has been great. No other draft guide out there has testing data from all the pro day and combine data for almost 1,900 players. But, it's in there. And so you want to know my top 350 wide receivers in this draft? You can find those. And so over 400 reports and people have really enjoyed it. It's a resource guide above everything else. Whether you agree with my rankings or not, you have this by your side during all 3 days of the draft. You won't be disappointed.
Hey, he has so many wide receivers that I'm at receiver 322, and I haven't played since my senior year of high school. So, like, he's so in depth. He's done his homework so much. Hey, listen, I'm not going to tell you how I feel about this. I'm going to ask you because you will know more about this than I will, and then I will either be proven right or wrong. But when it comes to Tim Couch, do you feel like if Tim Couch would have been in a better system, that he would have been a better organization, I should say? Do you think if he'd have been given the tools and been in a better organization, that he would have been a much better NFL quarterback with a lot of longevity?
100%. It's funny you mentioned that. That is the draft that made me fall in love with scouting and evaluation. 13-year-old growing up in Northeast Ohio, the Browns are coming back as an expansion franchise and trying to figure out who should be that number one overall pick. It was fascinating. And, you know, that was the Browns in 99 were one of the worst expansion franchises we've ever seen. They just did not have talent on that roster to support a quarterback. And then it didn't help that they just did not draft well. You know, Courtney Brown the next year, Gerard Warren the next year, passing on LaDainian Tomlinson and all these talents they could have had. But not having the offensive line help specifically, that Tim Couch, if he goes to a different, and I always love to play this game. If the Bears drafted Patrick Mahomes that draft, 2017, instead of Mitchell Trubisky, and then Mitchell Trubisky goes to the Chiefs with a better infrastructure, Andy Reid running that offense. How do we look at those two careers now? You know, is Mitchell Trubisky still with the Chiefs? It was Patrick Mahomes able to overcome what all the challenges that he would have faced in Chicago? Is he that good of a talent where it didn't matter he was going to be able to overcome that? And it goes back to Tim Couch. You know, if Donovan McNabb was the number one overall pick to the Eagles or to the Browns, Tim Couch went one pick later to the Eagles, which had a better setup, better team. They were in the Super Bowl a couple years later. How are we looking at those two careers differently? So it's always fun to do those sliding doors, the dominoes. So much that happens in the draft. One little decision can change the trajectory of all these different careers and teams. And it's kind of fun to look back at it and kind of wonder.
I'm a big Tim Couch advocate when we talk about quarterbacks that were way better than they were allowed to be. I'm always like, Tim Couch got screwed. If he'd have been on any other team, it'd have been a whole different story. And mostly I'm laughed at and told to leave the room. But Dane, I'm going to save this clip and I'm going to play it every single time I get into the Tim Couch argument. Look, here's the deal. Everybody, if you, a resource guide is an excellent, even with fantasy football, which is coming up and everybody wants to find the rookie, you want the it's all here. So for the draft, the timing is here, but also for fantasy football, his Twitter is DP Brugler. We'll post it up there in our notes. And also The Beast, that's it. You guys get it. Hey, Dane, I'm a big fan of your work because you put a lot of time and effort into it. You're very thorough. I can appreciate that. And I really appreciate the time you spent with us today.
No, anytime. I appreciate it.
All right, Dane. See you, buddy.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Dane for coming on with us. Great interview. I'm sure we'll be doing more draft all this week. It's big. One of my friends texted me last night something completely different about something else. And at the end, he was like, happy draft week. That's how you know you're hardcore.
Love it.
When it's like a holiday. When it's like, happy draft week, buddy. So I will be most interested in where Bijan goes, because there are some where he's as high as 10 because he's so good. But there's also the running backs aren't valued like they used to, but he also can catch the ball. He can play, as Dane talked about, he can play receiver. So Bijan's interested in me. But then, like the C.J. Stroud stuff, because now, even this morning, I woke up and saw that the Texans will probably draft an edge guy.
Yeah, I always wonder, especially draft week, what's true, what's not, who's trying to get stories out there. Maybe they want to trade, move back, move up. That's why this whole week is going to be crazy.
I agree with all of that. But if you're sitting at 2, you almost don't have to do that, because you can have whoever you want, because Bryce Young's going 1. So at 2, it's not like you need to hide your pick. If you're at 3 or 4 or 8, I can see you kind of putting up a smoke screen. But at 2, not so much.
Because who's going to move up? The Colts, maybe?
Yeah, but 4? But where are they going to go? Maybe to 3 where Arizona's pick?
Yeah.
Because the Texans are 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. It used to be the Wonderlic test.
I know. Where'd this test come from?
It's a different test that all the guys in the draft are going to the NFL. They all take it. And it used to be called the Wonderlic. Don't know if it's the same deal. I know it's the same concept where they take a test. They see how smart you are. And there you go. And I guess they publish the scores. But if I'm a dummy, I ain't taking the test in the same way that I wouldn't run at a pro day or at the combine. Or if you get to pick your own terms, I'll take the test, but I'm going to have somebody with me to help me with the answers. Well, C.J. Stroud had terrible results. The S2 is a battery of tests intended to gauge how quickly and accurately a prospect processes information in a chaotic environment while ignoring distractions. So apparently they put a shocking suit on you.
Yeah, you took it.
Yeah. They shock the piss out of you, and then they ask you questions. The scores for the top quarterbacks, Bryce Young, 98%. That's extremely high. Will Levis, 93%. Again, extremely high. What I read is they like it at about 80 and above to be somebody that's almost, in this world, a sure thing. Obviously, the athletic things, that's not in this part of it, but like sure thing mentally. Can they, if they don't understand now, can they figure it out soon? Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson scored a 79, which is good. Hendon Hooker a 46%, and CJ Stroud at 18. He got an 18. Who do you think he is? Me in computer class? What the crap? CJ Stroud needed to go to my French professor and be like, bro, you got to give me a higher score. You got to let me through this.
Yeah, his agent needed to do some more work.
18.
Yeah.
I would have done everything I could to make sure this didn't get out. And I'd be so mad at whoever this Bob McGinn of Go Long. How does he have the scores?
Bob.
How does Bob have all, how does he have all this power? And also reach out to Bob and say, I don't think I did that good, Bob, if you're going to put him out. This is what they do with tabloids. Hey, I'll give you a great story. I owe you one, a big one. You just keep this under wraps for now. I can't believe it. 18%. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's the worst one I've ever seen. Well, this is test is new, though.
Yes.
So I shouldn't say that because this test may be a little different than the Wonderlic, which was like the straight ACT or SAT type test. I think this one, I don't know what the factors, they say in a chaotic environment. Again, I don't get that. What are they, shooting with paintballs while you're taking the test?
Yeah.
What does that mean, chaotic
they're
environment?
Shocking you.
But CJ Stroud, they're saying because of this, he could fall a couple spots. I saw him a different mock this morning. Again, it was Bryce Young, Will Anderson. It was the defensive end from Texas Tech at 3. And then the Colts are at 4 because Arizona has that 3 pick. The Colts are at 4, and they had them taking CJ Stroud.
They would be so happy, I think, if you fell to them.
I mean, he fits the Colts because they make some real dumb decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I just don't trust the Colts. Then they got very fortunate in getting Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Because Manning was hurt and the Colts sucked. So they got Andrew Luck and then Manning ended up having to go away because Luck was the guy. 18%. That's just wild to me. Another thing was the clocks will run after first downs in college football. I don't like it.
You don't?
I love a pitch clock. I don't like this rule because I like the games to last longer.
Because you're a big college football guy.
Yeah, and there's just more action. No, I'm a baseball guy too, but there's more action in a college football game than there is a baseball game. And so I'm cool. I did a little investigating. It's going to save about 7 plays per offense per game. So 14 plays total. So it's not completely revolutionizing it. But I don't like it in the NFL when they don't stop. And somebody's trying to make there's a comeback happen.
Yeah.
It's like why the stop the clock?
Yeah.
I like to give them a shot to get set up there. But so the NCAA approved rule changes that will allow the clock to run after first downs in all divisions except Division III. Allowing the clock is expected to reduce the number of plays. Oh, there it is. By average of 7 per game. Boom. I saw that and I happened to remember it.
Look at that.
The clock will continue to stop after first downs during the final 2 minutes of each half. Okay.
That's good.
Okay, that's good. Then I'm into it because the NFL doesn't do that.
Yeah.
The NFL just runs. Yeah. According to statistics, the average game takes 3 hours and 22 minutes. I like it. It's 3 hours, 22 minutes of like action, though. That's the difference in baseball and college football. There's always plays being run. There's always people hitting each other, throwing, running. Fine, whatever. 4 Lions players, including 2022 first-round pick Jameson Williams, they're suspended. Different suspensions. 3 players were suspended for the whole season, and I believe the Lions already released them.
Yes, they did.
They were like, what are we going to do? Keep it? No, out.
Yeah.
Goodbye. So Jameson Williams has to miss 6 games. Now, he didn't bet on football. He actually just bet from the team facility. So you can't do that, apparently. Even if you have DraftKings Sportsbook, but if you play on an NFL team, you cannot bet from your team's facility. Not even just that. You can't bet on the team bus. If the bus is traveling down the road that is not connected to the team. Sounds like bullcrap if you ask me. All these stadiums have places you can go in and bet now.
Yeah.
They have basically kiosks where you can go get your DraftKings Sportsbook on if it's legalized in the state. Yet a player, if not betting on football, can't bet. Code of conduct by the NFL. Pick your NFL, pick a side. Specifics on where these bets were placed have not been released. I don't feel guilty because he knew the rules. And if you know the rules or the rules have been stated and you break them, you do serve the punishment. But it does seem a little bit hypocritical that you can bet on games in a stadium. But if one of the players doesn't bet on the NFL at all, but bets from the locker room or the bus, that is against the rules. I think they're bad rules. I think he did break the rules. It is enforced in a way that is probably accurate. But it's a dumb rule.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dumb rule.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch the Lakers in Memphis as a late game. The game didn't start till 9 o'clock. I just wanted to see what LeBron would do. So, and LeBron didn't score 40. And he played fine, but the Lakers jumped out. I think the Grizzlies only had 9 points after the first quarter.
Yeah.
9 points.
It was ugly fast.
Rui
Hachimura.
Hachimura. God dang. Every time he got it, he shot it. And he made a lot of them.
Yeah.
And he's big. I would imagine Hachimura is like 6'6"?
Oh, at least.
I mean, as soon as they would get him the ball, boom, gone. He was nailing them too.
6'8".
Yeah. I know he's that big. Hachimura's awesome. Not really, but he's a really good role guy. And I think he could be I think the Lakers can, I told you, I think they can get there.
Okay.
I do. I stand by it. But Dylan Brooks sucked.
Awful.
And he punched LeBron in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Or slapped him in the wiener. He was acting like he was going for a ball. Because LeBron was coming up court with it. He was going acting like he was trying to hit the ball. I mean, it just so happened he grabbed him right in the wiener. And he twisted. And he pinched. But he was going for the ball. But it wasn't. It was obvious.
Oh,
why do these players love hitting the nuts so much?
I don't know.
Everybody's now hitting the nuts.
You see Joel even kicked that guy in the
nuts.
Yeah.
Hard nuts.
Yep.
Everybody's going full nuts on people. You don't like it when you get hit in the nuts. Whatever happened to do unto others as you want to be done to you. Kick him in the ankle. Don't kick him in the nuts. I guess because the ball, it looks like you're doing other things.
Yeah, I guess you can try to hide it, but come on.
Dylan Brooks cupped him. He cupped him underneath.
He coughed on the cough.
So after not speaking to the media following his ejection for hitting LeBron in the midsection, see, nuts. Dylan Brooks talked to the media on Sunday and said that everybody's portraying him as a villain. Here you go.
The media making me a villain. The fans making me a villain. And then that just creates a whole different persona on me. So now you think I intended to hit LeBron James in the nuts. I'm playing basketball, a basketball player. So if I intended, and that's whatever is in the Fragment 2 category of having a Fragment 2, and you think I did that, that means you think I'm that type of person.
No, you hit him in the nuts. Also, we bleeped out nuts, but I said nuts 11 times. Did we bleep that out, Mike, or did they?
They did.
Oh, okay, yeah. Got it. Nuts, 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 nuts! But Dylan Brooks is the villain. He's in white sunglasses with his big chain after a game. And he's like, he ain't scoring 40. He knows exactly what he's doing. I wish he'd have just kind of owned it and been like, he didn't score 40. Yeah, they might have beat us. But he didn't score 40, did he? Like, embrace it. Don't back down from it because it didn't work out for you once. You don't ever see Pat Bev backing down after a situation. He may get beat. He may not play well. You never see Pat Bev back down. Dylan Brooks, be the villain.
Yeah.
Because you're only the villain of teams you're playing. Everybody else thinks it's funny. Or they don't like you or they're annoyed by you, but they forget about it. Your people love it. I was liking it until he backed down. And don't hit people in the nuts. Nuts, 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 nuts. It's NBA playoffs time. Big hoops action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with the touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Plus, everybody can score a no-sweat same-game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. That's right. I got to take the Lakers again. Like I mentioned earlier, I've been thinking about it the whole time. The Lakers need to win this in 5 or 6 because they're old as crap.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis was so good, so strong. He would take the ball. He would get the rebound, take it all the way down the court himself, post, score, run back. He would do it all. He was point guard, and then he'd post up with his own. It's crazy. But every time he'd fall, I'd be like, well, that's it for him for the year.
Yeah.
Anytime he could hit it all, like, that's it for him for the year. Out of the playoffs. But no, he's still here right now. But how versatile he is. Like, he would sky, get the rebound, physically knock people out, knock them around, and then take it down court as a point guard or as the point center, as the point four or five, whatever he plays. And then just go into a post. It's like me on 2K. That's what I do. I rebound with George Mirason. I think we're in like 1997.
Mirason.
Yeah, 7'7".
Wow.
You remember Mirason back
then? I knew the name, but like, yeah, I can't picture him.
But download the app now. Sign up with the code Bobby Sports. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code Bobby Sports. 21 and up in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. New York 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. See show notes for full details.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Other games, I know last night Minnesota won one in overtime. Mm-hmm. Good for them. They got their one win. They weren't completely shut out because they're about to get run. Phoenix won. But it seemed to me like Durant and Booker never came off the court. How many minutes did they play? Do you know?
Mm-mm.
I would look at the box score from that game. I don't know how Kevin Durant, if he's playing 43 minutes a game, and I don't know that's what he did, I don't know how they're going to last. That West is going to be tough. But they traded off half their bench, at least the good players off the bench, over to Brooklyn so they could get Durant. But now they don't have any bench. They don't have anybody to put in. So I'm entertained. Everybody's just getting hurt. Victor Oladipo, like, tore his patella tendon, I think, or had messed up his knee. I've heard a couple different. I think he's out, but he's old now. But between Tyler Herro, Giannis, who else has been hurt? LeBron's nuts.
Yeah.
Oladipo.
Oh, yeah.
Who? I feel like there have been more than that. What do you got? Did you find the minutes?
Yeah, Durant played 45, Booker 41.
There's no way they cannot last playing that many minutes. Not for a 7-game series. You'd think they would be able to because they're professional athletes, but they're also playing against professional athletes at the same level. If they were playing at the Y for 45 minutes, they'd probably be all right.
A little different.
Yeah. But it's a little different there. But yeah, it just seems like more star players are getting hurt this playoffs than ever before. The A's bought some land in Vegas for a new ballpark. The A's announced last week they have signed a binding contract for 49 acres in Las Vegas, where they intend to build a new ballpark for the team. They will change their name to the Las Vegas A's. Yeah, I get it. I would just change the name of the team, too. I get the Athletics.
Totally get away from it.
The Vegas Corrupt Gamblers. The Vegas Inside Tips.
There you go.
The project is going to cost $1.5 billion, leaving $500 million in public funding for whatever else. But it's just like, when are they going to move? For a long time, we thought they were coming to Nashville. I'm on the board to get a ball team here, and we ain't getting a team right now, which sucks. Maybe an expansion team if they open it up. I know they will also want to have another Canadian team, but we knew Vegas was going to get one. Once Vegas opened, it's then open.
Yeah.
When football, you know, LeBron wants a NBA team over there, baseball team's going to be there. Vegas is going to have everything because everybody goes to Vegas. I'd put a team in Vegas too.
Yeah. They open the floodgates there.
The A's lease in Oakland is up after 2024, so if all goes according to plan, 2025, possibly in Vegas. Anything else I said there that you guys were frantically looking up? Because the... What year was Oladipo drafted? I feel like that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was 2013? Yeah, 2013. Second overall pick.
Maybe that's what it was that I remember, him being a second overall pick. If I remember correctly, you can read me those picks. I don't think anybody's good from that 2013 draft. I haven't looked at this in forever. But that draft, and I could be completely wrong, but go 1 down to 10.
Well, one of the biggest. Go number 1. Yeah. Anthony Bennett.
Bust. Go ahead.
And then Victor Oladipo.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah. He started his career great.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Anyways, Otto Porter Jr. Cody Zeller. Alex Len. Nerlens Noel. Remember him?
I do. At Kentucky. Is he still playing?
No. Well, traded to Philadelphia Amateur. No.
Go ahead.
Ben McLemore.
Remember his song, Thrift Shop?
Yeah. Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
Okay. But yeah, go ahead.
Trey Burt.
Is there anybody in that draft at all that pops
up? DJ McCollum. There we go. Number 10.
Okay. Who? Do you have anybody after that?
Steven Adams.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he's been around. Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Oh. Giannis.
Oh, 15. Oh, yeah. What a draft. Everybody sucked up front and one of the best at 15. Anybody else?
Rudy Gobert down at the bottom, 27.
Yeah, I love Gobert. Mm-hmm. I love Gobert because everybody hates him. Everybody's annoyed by him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's it. Thank you to everybody in the whole world. Thanks for listening to this. I have nothing else to say. I just saw Chris Caraba from Dashboard Confessionals booked on the show, on the radio show.
It's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, huh? Are we going to get Adam Duritz, you think?
We were supposed to have. Remember that? That was the saddest email I ever had to send you.
Yeah, Adam Duritz was coming to my house.
Yeah.
To do a Bobbycast for an hour. I love Counting Crows. I've loved him a whole lot. Favorite band. And then he didn't. Somebody in the band got COVID. But they're going to do some sort of show here in August because I saw it posted at the Opry House. And so I was like, let's see if we can get him. That'd be cool. But I hear like his interviews. I've heard him be interviewed. I feel like he doesn't love being interviewed. And he almost never plays in interviews. But maybe we just say it's an interview and I just talk to him and ask him questions, but we don't record it.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I saw Chris Grau. That'd be cool. Did you like Dashboard?
I did.
Yeah. Both of you guys?
Yeah.
You didn't, Mike?
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And you did, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reed, do you even know what Dashboard is?
Not a clue.
Okay. It's that thing in your car where you put your insurance license.
Or have 15 different insurances in there from expired.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Final thoughts. Let's go. Kevin.
It's going to Pittsburgh Pirates' Drew Maggie, 13-year career in the minors, and he finally made his debut in Major Leagues. That's pretty dang cool to stick around that long. I think he was 33 years old, and he's still playing in the minors, finally got his call up. And it's cool because he got drafted by the Pirates originally, been bounced around for 13 years, and then he makes his debut with the Pirates.
pretty cool. I saw Murray coming off the court after Atlanta lost, and he got into the face of the referee.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I mean, right at him. After the game's over.
They bumped him.
Yeah. Like, headbutt thrust, but not a headbutt. Like, he went in hard and bumped him. I don't know what he said. I know the league's investigating it. And I know things are tense. Things are hot. I get it. But after a game, there's literally nothing you can do to make your situation better.
Yeah.
Just get off the court. Don't be an idiot. It's not like the Hawks are going to do much anyway, but he'll probably get suspended early next season. But there's no need. Nothing is happening. If it happens in a game, it still shouldn't happen. But at least I understand you're like in the middle of a battle.
Mm, heat of the moment kind of thing.
The game's over.
Yeah.
Nothing's been. Don't be a douche. So douche of the day. That's it. I mean, Trae Young was voted most overrated player by the players in the NBA.
He's so hard to
watch. Speaking of the Hawks, I know.
So hard to watch.
I know. Reed, do you have final thought?
Yeah, so this weekend I was going to see my girlfriend, and I realized I pass a PGA superstore every time. So I had to make a stop there, and that place is incredible. It's literally like a Walmart for golf. I was wondering if y'all ever been to one.
I haven't. Where was it?
It was in Birmingham.
You driving to Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yep.
No, I haven't, but I would go if I saw one.
They are.
Especially if I was by myself. If I was with my wife, probably wouldn't go. She'd be like, I ain't going to that crap.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Maddie was like, what's taking you so long? I was just getting a gas.
Beep, beep,
yeah.
Beep, beep. Sir.
Did you get some stuff?
No, I didn't.
You didn't get anything? Oh,
you didn't get anything?
I didn't get anything. I'm broke after getting those clubs.
You just teased yourself then.
I know.
You shouldn't spend all your money on golf clubs where you can't buy food. That's how you know a club's a little too expensive, Reed.
I know. I'm trying to win an amateur one day, you know?
When do they come in?
It said 2 weeks from last Tuesday, so.
Week or so?
Yeah.
Kevin and I's fitting got moved back a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Nance texted me again and said he heard the segment where I was talking about him not being able to get in a country club. Was like, not allowing Kobe to play basketball to Y. And he was like, genius.
Awesome.
Man, when we get Jim Nance in here.
Come on, man.
It's going to be a four-hour show. And he's like, man, this show's a long one. Yeah, no, Jim, every show's 4 hours. Trust me, it's all. This is every show. So we appreciate you sitting here. So I hope you guys have a great day. We will see you later on this week. Follow at 25 Whistles because I told Reed every 1,000 followers that Instagram gets, I'll give him $100 because Reed runs the site.
I feel like I should like donate that money or something.
No, that's you literally work.
You need it to go to the PGA shop.
Yeah, save it.
Go to PGA. You can't eat right now. I think. Yes.
That is fair. That's true.
Right now it's at, you need about 347 more to get your first $100.
Okay. All right. Come on, people.
You heard him. Go on, people.
Come on.
Come on, people.
All right. I don't think I ever blew the whistle in, did I? And let's blow the whistle out. All right. Thank you. That's it. Bye, everybody. Theme song written by Bobby Bones and performed by Brandon Ray. Follow Brandon on socials at Brandon Ray Music. Thanks to our crew, segment producer at Kickoff Kevin, video producer at Reed Yarberry, and executive producer at Mike Destro. And most importantly, thank you for listening. I'm Bobby Bones. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.